David's angry because of this. Oh, is this God's fault, David, or was this your fault? The Bible says that the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. And I would have to say, when bad things happen, we're tempted to blame God. Don't blame God. You have to ask, did my recklessness contribute to the problem at hand, to the mess that I'm in? And if David would just ask that, he would realize he did. And it only took 3 months. David came to his senses 3 months later. Sometimes it takes us a little while to wake up to the fact it's not God's fault, it's our fault.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kako e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in 2 Samuel chapters 6 and 7.
This study is King David Uncensored. The Bible doesn't try to hide things and put things in a real good light, you know, so that you know that some of the men and women of God were just so perfect and so wonderful. And if the Bible did that, then we'd think, wow, I can never achieve that. But when we look at King David Uncensored, a man after God's own heart, we look at the best and the worst of the man. And so we're going to see that, not so much tonight. Tonight we continue on, and you see a lot of good things about David. David has been anointed king now. He's 30 years old when he begins his reign. He reigns for 40 years, and if you were with Cliff last week, I was away. Cliff did a wonderful job the last two Wednesdays. But if you remember that he reigned for 7.5 years over Hebron, from Hebron in Judah, and then 33 years in Jerusalem. So the kingdom was somewhat divided at that point, and there was war between the two. And so it was a difficult thing, but now David is reigning. And you can see that in chapter 5 of 2 Samuel, verses 4 and 5. But now he's got the kingdom, and he's reigning here. And it says in chapter 6, now David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000, and David arose and went with all the people who were with him to Baal-Judah, or that's Kiriath-Jearim, to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called the very name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned above the cherubim. Now remember that ark, that box, wood covered with gold, speaks of Jesus Christ, all humanity, all deity. He was Jesus, the hypostatic union. He was man, but he was also God. That ark represents Christ. It represents God, God in the midst of the people. But in typology, it's really speaking of Jesus Christ. When you really get into that, it's interesting how you look at the Ark of the Covenant and how it is really a picture in the Old Testament of Jesus Christ of the New Testament. Now, what is taking place here is David is now reigning, and it's really refreshing when you think about it. It's refreshing after so many years now to have a godly leader who seeks to follow the Lord and actually seeks to do what God, you know, has for him to do. Not just a leader that wants to lead by his own whim and in his own desire and his self-will. That's kind of a horrible thing when there's a leader of a nation or there's a leader in a society like that. We know that Saul was like that. He was a self-directed, very selfish kind of leader, very impetuous, doing his own thing and ignoring God when God wanted to direct him. Well, David's not like that. Even though David is not perfect, he is always seeking God's will and the desire of God. And so we notice from the last couple chapters that he sought the Lord when he went out to battle against the enemies of Israel. God gave him strategy for winning, and so he really did win these battles. And he wasn't like King Saul, and I'm sure there was a lot of peace in the kingdom and a lot of security and maybe a big sigh of relief. The Bible says the people mourn when the wicked rule, but rejoice when the godly rule. And we do have a godly man ruling now, and one who will give the people confident assurance, would give them rest and peace and security. But now he's wanting to bring up the Ark of the Covenant up to Jerusalem. And remember, the Philistines had a hold of this Ark, and they were carrying it around by a cart. And finally, it ended up at Kiriath Jearim. And now David is going to bring the Ark, that which represents God, to Jerusalem and put that in the tabernacle. That tabernacle, remember when God gave Moses directions for building that tabernacle? It was just basically a tent of meeting God, and the ark was in that tent, and the presence of God was over that tent that would dwell over the ark. And so now David wants to bring it up. But notice in verse 3, and they placed the ark of God on a new cart that they might bring it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were leading the new cart. Now, even godly leaders have feet of clay. If you put a leader up on a pedestal, it won't be soon before that leader disappoints you. Because every leader, it doesn't matter how good they are, they have feet of clay and they blow it. David, what are you doing? Bringing the Ark of the Covenant up on a cart. That's how the Philistines carried the ark around. That's not the prescribed manner that God gave to Moses to carry the ark. You see, the ark represents the presence of God. You see, it's not to be handled any old way. It's not to just be shoved on a cart, you know, as a common, you know, piece of furniture to be brought up to Jerusalem. It's not like hauling wheat sheaves to the threshing floor. It's not like piling a bunch of rocks to build a wall for a pen for the sheep and just bring it up. You don't do that, David. You know better than that. God instructed Moses, bring the ark up by the priest. And the priests are to take the poles and put those poles through the sockets that are on the ark. David should have known that when he saw the ark and the sockets. Bring it on the pole, the sockets on, two sockets on either side, you put the pole through it, and four of the priests would carry the ark on their shoulders with those poles. Should have known that, but he didn't. Do you think possibly at this point, and I think it's true of all of us, men and women, I think David, at this point, he kind of came into his own. He was probably feeling pretty good about himself and the ministry and now where God had brought him to. He had favor with the people. He had favor with God. He was anointed king. And with that, he probably had a sense of privilege. You probably would. I think anybody would. Maybe a little bit of a sense of entitlement. And he had authority now. He was king. He was ruling. He had power. But you see, sometimes when a person comes from obscurity and they come into prominence, sometimes that can blind a person. It can blind their eyes to the reality of what they're doing. And I think that's what's taking place with David. Those are just my thoughts. But remember before when David was on the run from Saul, and Saul wanted to kill him, and at one point David said to Jonathan, his best friend, he said, there's one step between me and death. your father is going to take my life. You know, he was fearing at that time. He was desperate, on the run. He was humble at that time. He said, I'm sure he thought in his mind, if he thought there's just a step between me and death, each day that God gave him was a gift. He had this lowly attitude of dependence upon God when he was running, when he was obscure at this point, when he was fearing for his life. Remember when Saul came into the cave and his men wanted David to kill Saul and get rid of this problem? Because David, you're anointed king, kill him. David didn't. You can't touch God's anointed and be without guilt. So he cut off the edge of his robe. But then David, when he exposed himself to Saul and said, Saul, here's the edge of your robe. I could have killed you. I didn't. I'm not chasing you. Why are you listening to men who are saying I'm out to get you? You know, why are you listening to them? I'm like a flea. I'm like a dead dog. Why are you chasing me? And then Saul was contrite for a while. But you see, David felt bad by even cutting the edge of the robe off of Saul, God's anointed, saying, you shall not touch God's anointed and be without guilt. But now, think about it, this cart, the very symbol of God's presence, is treated as common. David, what are you doing? You're treating the ark, the presence of God, as common, and yet you were feeling guilty about cutting the edge of Saul's robe, and Saul was such a horrible king, and yet you recognized that God put him into office, and only God could take him out of office. Now you're treating the ark as common. You know, you think you could bring it into Jerusalem any old way, especially you bring it like the Philistines did, by convenience. I think David, at this point, he's a little bit filled with himself, with that new position that he now has, blinded to the fact that he's not properly handling the ark of God, that which speaks of God's presence. And you know what? We do that. I'm not saying that to be down on David, because we're all like that. I'm just showing you that a man after God's own heart, they even make mistakes. They have feet of clay. But you see, God, you know, brought him out of that. He learned his lesson. He learned it a hard way. You see, by his carelessness, David caused the death of one of his men. And I'm sure that went right to David's heart, because he didn't treat the ark the way he should have. Notice in verse 4, and so they brought it with the ark of God from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill in Ahio, was walking ahead of the ark. Meanwhile, David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with all kinds of instruments made of fir wood, and with lyres and harps and tambourines and castanets and cymbals. And when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out toward the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen nearly upset it. And the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah, and God struck him down there for his irreverence, and he died there by the ark of God. Seems kind of severe, doesn't it? He's just trying to help out God. Seems a little bit severe. But you see, good intentions that Uzzah had, but it was a bad decision. Good intentions, bad decision. David should have known better. Uzzah should have known better. They had the law. They knew what the ark represented. They knew what happened when the Israelites looked into it and God destroyed a lot of them. They knew what happened when those that were unsuspecting and didn't know anything about the ark, how God had even judged them, the Philistines. But now, notice this. They're touching, they're handling the ark. Wait a minute. Only the priesthood could do that. And, you know, I look at what we're reading here, but I think, you know, there are a lot of Uzzahs today, modern day Uzzahs. They want to ignore the prescribed way of coming to God. It's only through Jesus Christ. They want to handle God any old way. And I don't know if maybe God has just given us this example to speak to us today. Scriptures does say those things that were written from old were for our instruction. But you see, a lot of Uzzahs today, they think they can come to God any old way. I can treat God how I want to, and that's okay. And that's the sad thing. The sad thing is, maybe it's good intentions, but it's a bad decision. And if that person lives their life out like that, that they think they can treat God or come to God on their terms, they will one day, when they leave this life, wake up in hell. Remember the parable that Jesus gave in Matthew 22, where he talks about the king gave a wedding feast for his son and the invited guests were there. And there was one man that was standing there and he didn't have a wedding garment. In other words, when you came to a wedding feast, you would be handed a garment to go in, a prescribed garment. And then you'd go in and you would celebrate. But then the king came in and he noticed a man, he wasn't clothed in that garment. And he said to the man, "How did you get in here? How did you dare come in without a wedding garment?" And the man was speechless. And the king said, "Bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness where there's weeping, wailing, gnashing, and teeth." You see, what we see might be kind of severe here for Uzzah. We don't know if he was a man of faith, if he's going to be in heaven or not. But he was judged according to the flesh because he did something wrong there. But maybe he did, you know, maybe he did love God. He just made a stupid mistake. But you see, now there's no excuse for that. God has given us one way to God, and it's through Jesus Christ. And if we ignore that and we go our own custom way, we will be like that man who is not clothed in the righteousness of Christ, the wedding garment, and they're clothed in, you know, their favorite guru, or they're clothed in their own righteousness. And in that day, God will deal with them in a very severe way, an eternal way, an eternal separation. So, kind of a tough story to really understand, but you see, the Bible says that God has given us everything for life and godliness. And he's instructed us how to attain that. Everything, not a few things, everything, for life and godliness in this life, that we might go into the next life and thrive with God and receive rewards. And it's through Jesus Christ. And you see, to ignore what God has provided for us and to treat the things of God as unnecessary and I can do as I please is very foolish, very foolish. And I think that's what not only the storyline here is what we see literally, but I think spiritually it speaks loud and clear to us. And then in verse 8, "And David became angry because of the Lord's outburst against Uzzah." And that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. Or that's God's outbreaking on Uzzah, that man, Uzzah. Interesting. David's angry because of this. Oh, is this God's fault, David, or was this your fault? The Bible says that the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. And I would have to say, when bad things happen, we're tempted to blame God. Don't blame God. It's better to look at the situation, look at what's happening, and then ask, what led up to the mess that I'm in, and ask, did I bring this upon myself? Because really, David did. He brought that upon those that were bringing up the ark. He brought that upon himself, and now he's angry at God. You have to ask, did my recklessness contribute to the problem at hand, to the mess that I'm in? And if David would just ask that, you know, he would realize he did. And it only took 3 months. David came to his senses 3 months later. Sometimes it takes us a little while to wake up to the fact it's not God's fault, it's our fault. And so he does. So David was, verse 9, so David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? And David was unwilling to move the ark of the Lord into the city of David with him, but David took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. Thus the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. So through David's disobedience, look at the blessing that came upon the house of Obed-Edom. I think that's pretty interesting how that can happen, how God can bring blessing upon others, maybe even upon yourself, to the disobedience of someone. I could kind of write a script on that, things that I've seen come my way, our way, as a church. I think that's really really a truth. And here Obed-Edom, he was just basking in the blessings of God, at least for 3 months, because of David's disobedience and David's anger and his fear of the Lord. Now, this was kind of a slavish fear. It wasn't maybe a fear of the Lord that brings wisdom, because the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's really having God's mind. And I think David did come to that. We come to that as we see him bringing the ark up. He's very cautious at this point. So whether it was just a fear, I can't bring the ark up because, wow, look at what God did. Kind of a slavish fear. And then eventually it became a real wise, godly kind of fear that brought wisdom. But notice it says in verse 12 as we go on, now it was told King David saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him on account of the ark of God. And David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And so it was that when the bearers of the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. And David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouting and the sound of the trumpet.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of 2 Samuel, chapters 6 and 7. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today. Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in 2 Samuel chapters 6 and 7. Until then, aloha and agape.
will be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.